And now back to Take 5 at 5, brought to you by 808 Raps on AM 690, FM 94.3, The Answer.
That's right. Thank you for keeping it locked right here on AM 690, FM 94.3, The Answer. And hey, answer seekers, I have a treat for you. Not only do I have the author on the line with me tonight, and we are going to talk about the newest book that he has that he just published for us, but we're also going to talk about a couple of some older publications. And if you want to be on the edge of your seat as Big Oil CEO takes on Congress and Wall Street, you need to check out Backlash and Backlash 2, Justice Denied. Or maybe you want to dive into the Old Testament in a new way. You can pick up Gary Ivey's newest work, Quest for a King, Book 1 of the Age of the Kingdom series. And we're going to give you 10% off. How, you ask? Just go to theanswerhawaii.com and click Gary Ivey's web banner right there in the front. You don't have to scroll anywhere. It's super easy. Just log in to the Loyalty Club portal and you can grab that secret code. But right now, I have on the phone with me Gary Ivey, conservative author of the Backlash series, husband, father, and grandfather who believes in faith, family, and the fundamentals. Mr. Ivey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight. And you sound fabulous, but you are not actually located here in the studio with me right now. Where are you sitting?
I'm over on Hawaii Island in Kailua Kona.
Technology is fabulous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. I want to start off learning about you.
Okay, well, my wife and I live in Kailua Kona on Hawaii Island. Like I said, we moved here almost 8 years ago from Atlanta, Georgia. And we actually still operate a web development business in Georgia called OmegaNet that we started almost 26 years ago. So we didn't move here to retire. We moved here because our only child and her family were here, and we wanted our grandchildren to grow up knowing us. And since moving to Hawaii, my wife has also started Aloha Barter, a business-to-business barter group. So we stay busy.
I know Miss Tony. She's doing very well, yes, with Aloha Barter.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. So you've published a few works that we're going to talk about today, but let's start with the very first one, with Backlash. Can you give us kind of a teaser description of that work?
Yeah, Backlash was born out of my concern that the federal government's regulation of business hurts not the rich, but the employees, the owners, and the customers of any business, large or small. So, as you mentioned, gasoline is a favorite target of government, both for raising revenue and political posturings, thanks to the climate change emphasis of so many politicians. I grew up in Oklahoma, and my father worked for an oil company in middle management for 31 years, so it was natural for me to use that industry in examining the effect of government regulation.
And so Backlash, the very first one, because this is in a series of two novels. Backlash right. was published December 31st, 2016, ironically, just before the inauguration of President Trump. So I caught that, right? But when did you first think of the plot idea? Because usually it's affiliated with the Democrats being really slimy and putting the imposed taxes on and causing all the problems, right?
Yeah, well, I first wrote Backlash as a screenplay back in about 2000, before 9/11. I had an agent at that time that convinced me to write it as a novel. And I had never written a novel, but I had read a lot of novels, so I thought I could. And it was very gratifying when one of my friends, who was a published author, said that it was the best first novel he had ever read. But the first edition of Backlash, the themes are so topical that I had to revise it. So the second edition appeared in 2016.
Okay. So and you have so many reviews. I mean, this one has gotten a ton of reviews, and one of them was, when will we see a sequel? And you answered your readers, you know, in just a short time with Backlash 2, right? Justice denied on April 5th of 2018. So can you give us kind of the plot, right? The teaser of why you did a sequel and how is it different than the first one?
Yeah, well, in the first book, the protagonist, Jacqueline James, has to come up with an Operation Backlash to fight back when Congress passes a law to raise a $2 a gallon gas tax in addition to the existing taxes. And they discover that they can't operate profitably under that situation. And so they do this moratorium where they don't sell gasoline for a while. And at the end of that book, Congress decides that they're going to repeal the gas tax. But then in the second book, Backlash 2, Justice Denied, a federal judge puts an injunction and a stay to prevent the gas tax from being repealed. And so they are kind of back to square one. They have to, Jackie and her legal team have to go to court, ultimately to the Supreme Court, to get the stay lifted. And during the second book, she also has to contend with a rogue employee who explodes a gasoline tanker truck to kill the federal judge. And in the meantime, she figures out the identity of the mastermind who was behind the whole scheme to destroy her company. And she confronts him and after a harrowing car chase, finally sees the FBI bring him to justice.
Okay, well, you didn't give away too much because I have a quote that says environmental terrorists, murder, politics, moral integrity, a female heroine, which we will get to in a minute. That is my favorite part. Hardcore work ethics and a splash of love. That is a lot to put in one book and much less have two of them. Thank goodness. I really hope you have a third. But are you finished with this series at this point? Do you think there might be a third one on the way?
Well, you know, there's potential for it because the first book concentrated on the actions of Congress. The second book was the judicial system. And then the third book would be the administrative branch, specifically the regulatory state. And so that's a third book certainly is possible.
So I didn't put that in the questions. That was my spoiler alert for everyone out there who's really, really excited right now as they're driving on the edge of their seat saying, "Ooh, I got to go get this." So where can they find these books to purchase them from you right now? And then that 10% code, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, GaryIvey.com is my website. And you just go there and click on the shop button. And Ivy is I-V-E-Y, so that's something that I have to mention, since most people will spell it I-V-Y.
Very good. Yes, I had that in my live read as well. And before we take a break, I gotta know, why did you choose a female heroine as the main character? I mean, obviously females are awesome, but I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, the first draft of the screenplay, I had a male protagonist, but I quickly realized that it would be much more impactful to have a feisty female. And so I also made her short to give her added disadvantage in dealing with the old boy networks of both business and government.
Concentrated awesome. That's what I like to call short people. So I love that. But you know, there's so much more that we're going to talk about. So I want you guys to keep it right here on AM 690 because we're going to talk about your newest book that you just released in the Age of the Kingdom series. So stick right here. We have more answers and more from the author, Gary Ivey.
And now back to Take 5 at 5, brought to you by 808 Raps on AM 690, FM 94.3, The Answer.
You are listening to Take 5 at 5 right here on AM 690, FM 94.3, The Answer. And as always, Take 5 at 5 is brought to you by 808 Wraps, Hawaii's number one source for fleet wraps and storefront graphics. If you are a business owner in need of branding that business and want to increase revenue by $1 million in 5 years, that's it, just 5 years, give them a call at 808-999-7277 and you can drive that brand around or visit 808wraps.com and get a quote today. You know how else you can brand really well? Use your name for your website. Like Mr. Gary Ivey, who is on with me today, who is a conservative author of political and Christian works that we're going to talk a little bit more about. And where can you go to find them to buy them? GaryIvey.com. What a great brand. And that's spelled I-V-E-Y. So GaryIvey.com. And how can you get a little bit of a discount? Only if you're an answer seeker. So hurry on over to theanswerhawaii.com. It's a little bit of a good branding for the radio station website. Click Gary Ivey's banner. You'll be asked to log in, use your email, and you can grab a very secret code where you can shop on his website and grab 10% off any of his works. That is his gift to us for listening today and the rest of the month of September. How cool is that? Gary, thank you for that.
Yes, that's great, isn't it?
It is. We love it. And so we want to start talking about your newest book from the Age of the Kingdom series, Quest for a King. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about this new series that you just published?
Okay, the Age of the Kingdom series is an adventure story from 3,000 years ago. It's got political infighting, supernatural elements bordering on fantasy, and big battles. It's historical fiction told against the backdrop of the time of the United Monarchy of Israel, that's found in the Bible in 1 and 2 Samuel, which includes the story of David and Goliath. And the first novel, Quest for a King, begins about 20 years before the crowning of Israel's first king, King Saul, at a huge battle with the Philistines that was catastrophic for Israel. We meet Eldad, a metalsmith from the town of Mizpah, who volunteers to fight, but as he's leaving, he finds out his wife is pregnant. He goes to fight anyway and almost doesn't survive the battle. And the book follows his family and several other families for multiple generations and will continue through the other books of the series.
And it's been considered kind of a new take on the Old Testament in some of those reviews. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, that's right. I've had some great reviews. One person said that it was like an Old Testament, The Chosen.
And so how many books do you think you're anticipating in this series, Age of the Kingdom?
Well, the first book is the first half of King Saul's reign, and the second book, Exile of the King, is the second half of Saul's reign, and then the other books will be the reigns of King David and King Solomon. So it could be as many as six if I do two books for each of their reigns, but it would have to be at least four.
When you start writing a novel, do you think about where that's going to go and how many pieces of the puzzle it's going to take to get to the end, or do you just think, you know, maybe I'm not done. Maybe I'm going to need another one. How do you plan that?
Well, of course, writing a novel like Backlash, where everything is original, I can do whatever I want. And so it's fun to write open-ended where you don't even know what's going to happen. You just let your characters do whatever they want. But on the other hand, you kind of need to know where you're headed so that you can come up with an ending that makes sense and is satisfying. In the case of the Age of the Kingdom series, It's kind of mapped out already as far as the Bible story is concerned, and I don't stray from the Bible story when the Bible is explicit, but there's an awful lot that you can fill in with characters that are minor characters and we don't know a whole lot about them. Those can be fleshed out and you can kind of give motivations for them and that sort of thing.
And what made you go from this political fiction type of series to this religious Christianity type of nonfiction fiction series? They seem very different from each other. And honestly, it should take a very creative mind to be that different.
Well, I have always been fascinated by the Old Testament stories. I went to a Christian school growing up, and we had Bible classes along with mathematics and reading and everything else. So it was an everyday thing, and I just was fascinated by them. And a lot of people consider the Bible and history to be boring, but it's not at all if you dig into it and you think about all those people and what they went through and, you know, how they reacted, how they felt about it. History is the story of people, after all, and so those people are not that different from us.
The only book I had a little trouble getting through when I read the Bible in a year was Numbers, because everyone begat everyone else and they had to go through the entire line of that. Was a little bit much. But so where do you think you might go after this series? I mean, now I'm putting you out like 10 years, so I apologize. But do you think that there might be another subject matter in your imagination that you might pick up after, you know, Quest for a King is done? Or I'm sorry, Age of a Kingdom?
Well, I've got several writing projects. I have three screenplays that have been optioned by a producer, and you never know how those things are going to turn out or how long it's going to take, but we shall see. And as I mentioned, there's a possibility of another book in the Backlash series. That's something that I could do. And I also have a nonfiction book that I'm going to finish someday titled Collision or Convergence, about the supposed conflict between faith and science.
That sounds interesting. I need you to call me back when you finish that one. So now all of your books are in physical form as well as downloadable electronically, and you offer signed editions, right, on your website?
That's right. Yes,
So, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of a physical page turner kind of girl, but I do know there are a lot of people who love their Kindles. My mother is one of them. But honestly, I think that technology has kind of ruined the art of reading. And I know there's been a lot of hype in the creative industry, such as the Actors and Writers Guild. And now we're seeing a crossover of AI into your industry. How do you feel about AI being used for your craft?
Well, you know, I have played with a few of the AI writing tools, but I haven't really been very impressed. AI can take what has already been created and mash it up, but it can't really create anything new. And that means that AI may be pulling information from copyrighted books and articles, and that could even land you in legal trouble. That's all going to have to be sorted out. But I think it has potential for help. I mean, I've used AI in some situations, like in Photoshop. There are some features in the beta version now that are very helpful for extending images that are too small, too narrow, too short, whatever, so that you can make them bigger and that sort of thing, or you can remove things if you need to. And so some of the photo editing things that you can do manually but take hours can be done in a few seconds. But there's also potential for using it for evil, you know, for taking a public figure and making it appear they said something or did something they didn't really say or do.
We have seen that. I actually, I was at a meeting with the Hawaii Association of Broadcasters, and they made someone speak using AI that actually wasn't physically in the room. It was really creepy. But, you know, sometimes, like now, where we're using StreamYard and an app so that you can speak to us from Kona, and it sounds like you're sitting across from me, technology can be great. And sometimes, like with the book that I will speak about toward the end of my show, where we've got, in 48 hours, a self-published 44-page book about the Maui wildfires that is, you know, contributed with AI only, and we don't even know if the author is real. So things are a little nuts when it comes to computers. But the last question I have for you from a self-publication standpoint, because a lot of people say, I have ideas, I want to get published. How does that work? And what is the process like now? How is it different than when you couldn't really be self-published?
Well, there's always been a form of self-publishing. It was called vanity publishing, where you would print thousands of books and spend thousands of dollars, and then you had to find a way to sell those. But now we have print on demand, which means you only need to print a book when you've sold it. And so that means that the price of admission is much lower, and that makes it good for people who want to self-publish. It also means that it's easy to publish some very bad stuff, you know, not up to par. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other side of that coin. But I did my books two different ways. The Backlash books are published by Amazon. And they are the actual printer when I print books to sell. But this latest book, Quest for a King, I went with Ingram Spark. Ingram has been the distributor of books to bookstores and libraries for decades. So by working with them, you can walk into any bookstore and ask for Quest for a King, and they will order it for you.
Very convenient. And also convenient is the fact that your website is your name. So I do want to share one more time before we have to go. Go to Gary Ivey, IVEY.com, and it's /WP for WordPress, right? /shop. Or you can just go to the website and click the little shop button in the navigation menu, and you can see all of the works we talked about today. They are all for sale. But if you want to catch a 10% discount, only our answer seekers can do this. If you're looking for a new book to add to your library and you thought any of the topics that we talked about, which I don't know how you couldn't, were super interesting, then visit theanswerhawaii.com and click Gary's web banner, and it'll get you to a loyalty club login page where you can log in or join. It's free, easy, and fast to just use your email address, and you will receive a 10% discount promo code on the other side of that window. It's a big, big secret, so you got to be an answer seeker to get that promo code. Gary, thank you so very much for joining me this evening. I really appreciate it.